You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are we recording? Okay, so before we get started, I'm just going to let you guys know that... You probably don't know who the fuck we are, okay? Let's just be real. You're a part of the Cast Network, so are we. So that's why you were like, all right, yeah, we'll do this fucking, we'll do this clown show, whoever these guys are. I'm a political commentator. I'm an anti-capitalist political commentator. And Will is a movie geek.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to describe
it? Anti-capitalist. Yeah.
Anti-capitalist, like a leftist, socialist,
pro-labor. Do you hate rich people or something?
I myself am rich.
He hates.
But I mean, I kind of do. I kind of do, actually. I do, like, especially the ultra-rich. But, no, actually, that's...
Give me your money.
What?
Give me your money.
You're fucking rich, dude. Why would I give you my money? No, it's more about, like, making the government actually take the money and appropriately redistribute it. Considering that individual acts of charity don't exactly fucking help. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't even be in this mess to begin with. If you think about all the money that Jeff Bezos donates, you know. But we don't have to talk about that. We can if you want to, if you guys don't have a problem. I feel like Tony over there is just like, what the fuck did I get myself into? But
yep, probably blaming me.
But that's who we are, okay? Welcome to Fear and Malding. This is our podcast. We just kind of shoot the shit. Normally, we talk a lot about politics, but today we're gonna talk about other things not super related to politics.
We got to talk about Facebook, too.
Yeah, we can talk about that. You guys down with that? You guys comfortable with
let's
that?
Let's go. All
right, let's go.
Okay, let's roll the fucking intro then.
I'm saying it, dude. I've been drinking pre-workout already. I'm ready to run through a brick wall, baby. Fuck it.
Name is Hassan.
What a fucking weaselly little liar, dude.
Oh, hell yeah. We already got brand plugs flying in. God hey, damn, what was that you were drinking again, Jason? It looked delicious.
Right,
he's a whore. This? He will this, let you mean
this?
Oh what wow, liquid death.
Liquid death. Liquid death. Yeah.
So what is that? Is that your brand? Is that are you?
Yeah, I own it.
Oh fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, when you see everybody, that's me. That's how rich and powerful I am.
That's what I was gonna. So I Googled you guys before we started, and I Googled Tony Hawk, and the first thing that came up is, why is Tony Hawk so famous? It's very weird.
So
I mean,
you type in my name, and that's what it says?
I literally have Tony Hawk up right now in front of me.
I thought Google knew everything, because that's the dumbest thing anyone's ever said. Why is he famous? Because he actually did something, unlike almost every other famous person.
No, literally. No, I know. By the way, I'm kidding. Look, I grew up in Turkey. I grew up in Turkey until I was 18 years old before I came to America. And I grew up playing, you know, Tony Hawk Underground. Mm-hmm. I tried playing it now. I can't because I'm too old now. And like, I don't know. I'm just not very good at video games anymore.
What, you mean it's too dangerous now?
What, skateboarding? Yeah, it's a crime, actually.
No, playing the games. You say you're too old to play video games. Is it like, it's too dangerous? It's too daunting?
No, he just doesn't have the reaction time anymore.
My bones are really. He's right. It's not even... Why is he laughing at us?
He can't coordinate his thumbs anymore.
He's laughing at my...
This dude's 32, and he's losing his reaction time on a
video. Yeah, dude. Guess what, dude? I'm 30, okay? It happened to you too, probably, Jason, okay? Wow.
No, I can't believe
we're much older. We're much, much older.
Yeah. Well, you know, the podcast started off on a good foot, yeah, I think. Yeah. We don't have a lot of guests on usually for understandable reasons, as you can you probably figured out. Us,
yeah.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. I'm just gonna shoot it at you guys. Hopefully you will have some feedback. One thing that actually happened, originally we were gonna talk about like Facebook, what's going on there. You know, the misinformation on Facebook and the congressional investigation that's ongoing. But then something significantly more important happened, and that is, of course, the website that we're on, Twitch. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Do you know what Twitch is?
Yeah.
I love that response.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
What is this? What's Twitch? Oh.
Okay, look, I don't know, dude.
He's just trying to protect you.
I was just, yeah. Who
doesn't know what Twitch is? Holy
a
shit.
A lot of people don't know. Who, what
literally,
Twitch is,
if you've ever gotten laid.
They're not in the game, but what are we talking about?
If you've ever had sex in your life, you probably don't know what Twitch is.
Jason, I'm not going to lie. That was actually more of a fair question than you think. A lot of times that we are like talking to people about what we do, we have to be like, it's kind of like Amazon's YouTube. Like, we really like a lot. What's up?
Do you talk to politicians a lot or something?
No, just kind of like anyone that's outside of like, I guess, digital or streaming.
Isn't like, Twitch like a decade old or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really like a 50-50 shot.
It's really insular though still, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like super gamer focused up until like recently. So yeah. People outside of that sphere are not like super aware of it. If you're under the age of like 30, you definitely know what it is. But
I think
if there was a line of demarcation for us, it's probably somewhere between Twitch and Discord. Because I know what Discord is, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't quite get it.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you.
There you go.
There you go. That's where you're getting into the weeds with us, for sure.
Okay, well, it doesn't... You guys, that's only like... That's like a flex almost. Because not knowing Discord just means you have like a relatively stable life. And also, you're like a happy person overall. You're like healthier than the average individual. Because like... Like, I'm gonna tell you something. I have a Discord server, okay?
Yeah.
And it's got like 70,000 people in it, like 70,000 fucking communists, socialists, leftists. They constantly are just like bickering all the fucking time. So it's not a good mental space. If you want to have a healthy attitude, just don't go on Discord. Mm. I use it still for communication.
All right. There you go, Jason.
Well, that was the wise.
What's up? Why? Did you do that fucking Discord ad with like Grimes and Danny DeVito?
He doesn't know
what
Discord is. He doesn't need to.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. The reason why I bring up Twitch is because it's what we do. We're Twitch streamers usually. And that is, you know, I'm live for like 8 hours to 10 hours every single day broadcasting. It's a little bit like AM radio here in the United States, actually. It's like very similar to, I basically do what like Rush Limbaugh used to do before he fucking croaked. Rest in piss, Rush Limbaugh. Before he died, but not to like geriatric psychos, but instead to like, you know, younger generation of Zoomers. And also, I'm not a freak like Rush Limbaugh was. And
do
instead,
you have a tail?
What?
Do you have a tail?
I do not have a tail. No.
Did you know that Rush Limbaugh had a tail?
He did.
What?
I believe it.
Wait a minute. Tell me about that.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I had sex with him one time.
And it really got in the way.
Yeah? Were you into it, or did it get in the way? Can he move it?
Yeah, it wiggles.
Oh, hell yeah. Do you know who Rush Limbaugh is, Jason? Or are you just...
I know Howard Stern said that he had a tail, so that's where I go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right.
Fucking part, I was just riffing.
No. It's just, if Howard Stern
that was
said
some
it,
movie too, wasn't it? Wasn't there a guy like that in a movie that?
Was that? Yeah. Thing, oh, that's right? Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, Jason Alexander plays a guy with a tail.
There it is.
There you go.
Okay.
Deep knowledge bank right there.
Yeah, that's well, Rush Limbaugh definitely has a tail now. I'm 100%
that's
going
canon.
With that.
Yeah, from this point forward.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Fucking get mad at me, bro? He's dead. Fuck you, Rush Limbaugh. Okay, so But the reason why I was talking about Twitch is because earlier today, I had a whole show lined up. We were going to talk about a bunch of different things. And then something really important to us, at least in our sphere, happened. There was a massive data breach at Twitch.
Yeah.
And this data breach showed all of the payouts of every top Twitch streamer. Not even just top Twitch streamers, but like everyone. Apparently, it was all compiled. So now everyone knows how much money every Twitch streamer has made since 2019 up until now. And of course, the internet is very mad at me for that reason. And we were going to, we were going to briefly inform our listeners about what's going on there, because it's like a, you know, it's like a big story in our little world. And I want to hear your.
What you're saying? The internet's mad at you because your finances were released too?
Yeah.
Wait, are they mad because you made a lot of money?
Yes.
Yes.
Or they're mad because you're not making enough?
No, they're mad because I made a lot of money.
Isn't it weird?
We're so angry.
No one ever gets mad at you for not making enough.
That is
that would be so great.
I wish we had more people in our corner like
that. He's just not getting his fair his due. That's how they should feel about me and Jason. That's how they should feel about Jason and I, for sure.
Yeah, everybody get mad. Wow, Tony, the reality really kicked in right there. I'm fine, but Jason, yeah, definitely needs to be hated on.
Yeah. They're much madder about Jason.
Their dynamic is very similar to us.
Yeah, very similar.
You're
kind of
you're the Jason to my Tony Hawk.
I'll take that. Except we're Jason.
Except we're not nearly as successful.
Yeah, we're not nearly as successful as you guys.
Yeah,
you guys
or famous.
Hey, Hassan.
What's up, Will?
Listen, a lot of people recently have been saying that my skin looks better than yours.
No one is saying that.
I think that a big part of that is Disco. Disco sent me their products. I've been using their eye stick. I've been using their moisturizer. I've been using their facial cleanser. It looks like a deodorant stick. I put it in my face in the shower, and my skin is fucking glowing.
Who's saying that my skin is worse than yours?
Everybody, the internet.
Oh my God.
Everybody is chiming in on this. Everybody's talking. It's really reached a boiling point. Disco is a clean skincare brand based in Austin, Texas. All Disco products are created specifically for male skin. Issues like under eye bags, dark circles, acne, razor bumps, oily skin, dry skin, and wrinkles. Disco products are easy to use, effective, and affordable. They take the guesswork out of taking care of your skin. That is true. Their face wash is just a stick. Like, it's impossible to mess up. Disco formulates all of their products right here in the USA with world-renowned Ivy League dermatologists. If you're looking to get into your own Disco skincare routine, the Disco Starter Set is a no-brainer. Okay.
I love that.
The starter set is an incredibly simple and convenient way to upgrade the appearance of your skin in 3 simple steps for just 60 seconds a day. The face cleanser stick, the one I was talking about, takes care of the acne. The exfoliating face scrub gets rid of razor burns and ingrown hair. You know about that. When I waxed your leg, you got ingrown hairs because we didn't exfoliate. The hydrating face moisturizer hydrates your skin and it prevents wrinkles.
Need that too. I'm looking old.
That's right. I've been using Disco for just a month, and my skin looks great. And now I notice my skin is no longer oily. It feels smooth. It's hydrated, and it's even glowing.
It has been glowing a little bit too much. Maybe you should cut back on that Disco, dude.
I'm a Disco fiend.
You're making me look bad. Disco is TSA approved and very portable. I know for a fact. I hate it when you got your colognes or your deodorant.
Yeah.
Or your skincare products, and you get to the TSA, and they're like, we are going to stop you.
Yeah.
We are going to make sure that you can't have this product with you. No. You're not going to have clear skin. Well, fear not. If you have Disco, all that is portable and TSA approved.
Speaking of fear, we have a very special offer for our Fear and Molding audience.
That's right.
Go to www.letsdisco.com/fear. Or enter fear at checkout for 30% off your first order.
Yep.
That's letsdisco.com/fear for 30% off your first order. Thanks.
Thank you, Disco.
Disco. That's right.
That's the part of the ad read.
Go get your starter.
We should do that together. Like, thank you, Disco.
Ready?
Thank you, Disco.
Bang. Yeah, nailed
that,
it.
That was, it was
keep
powerful.
The lead up, too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Don't cut that out. No. Editors, I'm watching you.
But yeah, I mean, it's like kind of interesting that like all of these tech giants in the same week are getting shit on, right? Like that's kind of fascinating that cybersecurity is so abysmal, it seems like.
It's because it's fucking held together with, like, you know, string tape, dude.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like a lot of us kind of had, like, a blind confidence in these companies. Am I the only one? Am I crazy to think that, like, I thought, like, places like WhatsApp and Facebook were pretty much unhackable?
Clearly not. I mean, it just history proves itself. What was the big data breach where they held it hostage with the whatever the site is, like, for having affairs?
Oh,
Ashley Madison.
Yeah, I'm on there.
Ashley Madison, like, that was like obvious. It was obviously that it was intentional.
Yeah.
And then now with all this, it seems like it's coincidental, but probably not, because it's all happening at once, and it's right when the whistleblower is on 60 Minutes. And yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like
people are
targeting, and they're obviously more advanced than whoever's providing the cybersecurity.
I think if it's not coordinated, Tony, that makes it even more terrifying, right? That they are all so vulnerable that in the same week they got hacked individually. That would be...
No, that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm not saying...
That's what happened?
Coordinated. Yeah. Oh, it just feels like people are like, "Oh, you want to? You think you guys are secure? Here you go."
Yeah,
this is what's happening. But I think that the fascinating thing is, why is it that only that information leaked? Is that the numbers leaked, or is it was all combined?
I think it was probably less protected. The payout stuff was, like, less protected than our passwords and whatnot. Luckily, holy shit.
Yeah.
And also, it's probably the most interesting information, like, how much money are Twitch streamers making? You know what I mean?
Sure. But are any of the streamers, and yourself included, transparent about how much they make?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the funny thing is, like,
who cares?
Yeah.
What's the point?
So not many streamers are as transparent as I am, for obvious reasons. Like, people keep it hidden. I have a subscriber count. Like, I make all of my money from subscriptions. And it's a free. It's literally free. Like, I'm live all day, every day. You can watch me for free. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to. And people still willingly subscribe, right? And I have a subscriber count on the top right of my corner for that specific reason, because I want to be as transparent as possible with the people that are watching me to know that, like, look, I'm doing all right. Okay. I'm very well off, as a consequence of having a, awesome community and a large audience. But
I think the leak, though, is just better, like, clickbait, right?
Yeah.
When you can in a title be like, streamer finances leak, X makes this much.
Yeah.
You know, even if we're transparent about it, it coming out like this, I think it, like, makes for better shitty news, right? It makes for a better headline where people are like, oh my God,
yeah,
this person makes this much.
Sure.
And I'm sure you guys are unaware of this because, again, you have, you know, wonderful lives where you are healthy individuals. But, like, this happened a couple months ago at this point where, like, I bought a house. I did all the fucking things that I was supposed to do, you know, LLC, all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, try to hide it as best as I could. Doesn't matter. It got leaked. Boom. It's on fucking Fox News, Breitbart, you know, all the websites.
Can we talk about some inside baseball real quick?
What?
Why the fuck was Critical Role making $10 million?
Critical
Role, by the way, guys, is a Dungeons & Dragons show. And it turns out it's the number one earner on our platform. And that was a shock.
They have incredible amounts of subscribers and dedicated community. I think they put together, like, it's like professional content.
That was a shock to me, though,
yeah,
that they were so far and away the highest.
I kind of knew. They were always at the top of the, like,
really?
Subscriber leaderboards. But yeah.
Jason, should have not skated through your high school years and just played Dungeons & Dragons.
True.
It would have been far more lucrative.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what I tell my dad now. It's just like, he used to always fucking be like, you'll never make money playing video games. Like, don't touch this stuff. You know, you got to fucking go to law school. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And then now I make more money than he does. So
that feels bad, man.
Yeah.
One time when I was went back to Australia when I was a pro skateboarder, I think I'd been pro for at least 10, maybe 8 years, something like that, like a proper pro. That was my job. It had been my job as far as I knew for as long as my whole life. And I went back to Australia for 6 months, and it was when I was sponsored by the Bones Brigade. and they started sending my checks directly to my parents' house. And my father opened the mail, and I was in the kitchen, and he opened a check, and he said, "Holy shit, this, you know, like it was $6,000 American."
Right.
Which was like 10, maybe even more at the time in Australian money. And he goes, there's a check here for $6,000. You know who these people are? And I go, what does it say? It's like, it's PAL. And I'm like, yeah, it's my skateboard sponsor. And he's like, what'd they give you this for? And I was like, cause I'm sponsored by him and I get that every month. And he goes, every month? Jesus Christ, Jason, you can take this shit serious. And I was like, I'm fucking top six in the world. Well, how much more serious do you want me to fucking take it? I didn't know I've got a fucking job skateboarding. He had no idea that I said, what do you think I was doing? He's like, I thought you were selling drugs.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wait, how?
He's like,
wait, how long have you been? You've been skating your whole life up until that point, right?
Yeah, I was top five in the world.
Like, that's incredible.
He's like, I was Jason, proud of you,
I like
son.
I like the idea that he's just oblivious to that. Just like, la, la, la. I don't know how Jason makes a living. I don't care.
As long as it seems like he's doing well. He wears new shoes and stuff. Like,
so wait, did your dad become like
he's got cash?
Did your dad become like a dance dad after that? Was he like on site, like watching you do your events after that and stuff?
Not at all.
Not at all. He's like, you got to take this more seriously. I'm going to chill, but Jason, you got to dial it up, baby.
I think around that time he ended up, he like left my stepmom for a minute. He got caught dating a stripper that was dancing at the same club my girlfriend was. And then he moved into a house with her and half the house was hydroponic weed. So he became like, he paid for the house to be a part of the distribution of the weed. So he was a drug dealer.
Damn. What was the name of the dance club?
You have now entered the Jason Vortex.
Yeah. What was the name of the strip club?
Sorry.
What do you mean sorry? I think it's fascinating. I'm just trying to give them some context.
Yeah, you know what? I did know the name in Melbourne, the Gentleman's Club. What was it? Fucking, yeah, I can't remember. But I used to go there all the time, and I thought it was the coolest life ever because I could be in the dressing room, and my girlfriend was like, "This is so and so, and this is so and so," and then she'd get a dance, give me the money, and then I'd give it to her friend and get dances all night. And then, and then my dad just showed up. All of a sudden, he's calling my girlfriend to see when she's working because he was respectful like that.
Yeah.
If she was working, then he wouldn't go to the club. But if she wasn't there, he was there all the time.
That is a very specific etiquette right there. Strip club etiquette is a very specific etiquette.
This one, he died and... that girl hit me up on Facebook and wanted to talk to me about like things that my father had done before he passed away. And I said, in respects to my brother's mother, my stepmother, I don't think that it's appropriate for you to talk to me. And I don't want to know anymore. So I never found out what else he did, but I already kind of got it. He was like doing live sex shows and stuff. He was a busy boy.
Hey, I mean, while we're in the Jason,
yeah, my dad too. I have a similar experience.
Oh yeah,
yeah, totally.
In Turkey?
Nah, he's fucking boring ass academic now. Holy shit! Okay.
While we're in the Jason Vortex, one thing that Hassan and I both want to talk about is, you know, you're kind of a symbol for macho men, for alpha men. No, seriously, like a lot of the dudes I went to college with, you know, worshipped you, man. Like they listen to you every morning, and recently you've come out as pansexual.
Pansexual.
What's up?
Peter pansexual.
Yeah, that's the full terminology there. But how has that like affected your career, and why did you feel like it was a good time to come out? I kind of want to delve into this.
It wasn't a good time to come out.
Okay.
It never is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of me regrets it. Like the business side of me regrets it because it definitely hurt my business.
Wait, really? You got brands that are like, wait a minute, you're paying? We're not paying you anymore. Like,
I lost fans. People, as you said, grew up thinking, you know, I'm into moto and fighting and boobs.
Yeah.
Which
are all true.
None of those things are all true.
It slipped in the dick sucking thing.
It was a yes and. It was a yes, I like boobs and the occasional dick.
Everybody. So I was, they were like, you told me you wouldn't suck a dick. And I did. So now it's over.
Yeah.
I'm actually dealing with people at my son's school are making fun of my son because his dad's an F-bomb. And I'm no longer allowed to I have a pink Jeep and I can't pick my son up from school anymore in that car because it could just makes it harder for him and he's 12.
That's fascinating to me, man, that in 2021 there's still so much.
12-year-olds are, I mean, look, they're probably sexually confused right now. They're like, they got hormones. That's probably the reason why they're still like, you know, being homophobic.
I would have thought it'd be more about their parents are homophobic.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, of course. If it's the area that you say, is like very, very right wing. So that's not even remotely
surprising.
Jason,
the irony about having the pink Jeep being the flashpoint is that the coolest kids are wearing bright pink sweatshirts and pink sneakers and like that's what it's all about right now. So I would think they would be hyped to see your Jeep come in.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's probably more his mother. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm getting a new car.
Are
you really?
You should tell.
You know what, Tony? I didn't tell you, but I talked to my business manager. I'm going to get myself a nice car for my 50th birthday. So
I'll be okay.
But it's not going to be pink.
I was
all black.
It's race.
Yeah.
It's going to be even gayer. I'm buying a Subaru next time. That's right.
I'm buying a purple Subaru with dicks all over.
The thing is,
Idiocracy.
You're cooler than all their fucking dipshit dads that, like, you know, are fucking mid-level accountants and, like, you know, they work at fucking Price Waterhouse Cooper and shit. So, you know, who gives a fuck? I don't have a kid, so I have no idea how I would raise one. I don't even want to think about that. I just probably be a menace.
It'd probably be good for him, but the bottom line is who I am and my honesty has caused my son to have a difficult time at school, and that's really hard to accept.
That's incredibly fucked up. You
know? I made this decision to be open about it. Yeah. He's just a kid. So,
you know,
it really is hard to deal with, but I think, like I said, at the end, I think later on, because he'll know he's not a gay guy, but he'll know firsthand that people can be really, really lame.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, it'll help him not ever be on the other side of that.
I think the way that, you know, at least you can try and balance it. It's never going to fully balance it, especially when it's your kid. But like, Jason, you coming out is probably so important to so many young men
in
so many communities that don't have that representation, right? Like, you know, we just had the first starting professional football player come out as gay and what that means for football and for all the, you know, young men who aren't completely straight and are on some level of the LGBT spectrum, you know, in professional athletics. It's amazing how, even though we have moved so far into acceptance, that there are so many areas where any kind of non-totally straight sexuality is so stigmatized. So, I mean, I can just tell you right now, there's so many people in fighting, skating, you name it, that, I mean, this is probably a huge deal for, and you know, there's a bunch of young guys out there that this means a lot to.
Yeah.
I wish they'd come out, man, because it's pretty lonely out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
think about this. You're one of the most successful dudes at what you do, and it took you this long because of that pressure. So, you know, like all those dudes still in skating and fighting and all that kind of stuff must feel very like seen, but still just as scared, right?
Yeah. I feel like I get more messages now because of the show I do with Tony, because Tony's had everybody in skateboarding following him from day one, and all the people that are around my age that still follow Tony because they used to skate and now they're, you know, older, got kids or whatever it is their thing is. I'm a guy that stopped skateboarding because I moved up to Hollywood to try and do a show, and now I'm back skating again with Tony, and all the people that are my age that are no longer skateboarding see me talking to Tony and how I've progressed and like learned some tricks, and I'm like, man, I really feel like I could do this one next week and this one. I get messages every day about old dudes back on the board. Like, you got me back. I'm not as good as you, but
yeah.
I'm like, if you can do it, I'm like, fuck it, I'll go. And I'm like, that is like, I figured I didn't pay enough rent lately in skateboarding to be able to do anything positive for skateboarding.
Right.
But I feel like I have, and that makes me feel really good, because I feel like I have to pay a lot of dues. I left skateboarding for 20 years. Very disrespectful.
Dude, I mean, we can't even play basketball anymore.
Yeah,
we just turned 30.
Dude, my back is all sorts of fucked up. I mean, I've never been able to skate, so, you know, that's never happening for me, at least. You know, I don't even know. I feel like there's not like a big skateboarding scene in Turkey. It might have gotten larger since left.
Have you skated in Turkey?
No, I had one opportunity to go, but it was not on a skate trip, and I really wanted to. I wanted to find out. I know there is some. I've seen footage, but I'm not. I don't know how many people are doing it.
I had one friend when I was growing up that skated, and that was it. Like, one kid, and he was like, I mean, he was treated like the school shooter. Like. Literally. I mean, that's an American concept. We don't have that in Turkey, obviously.
But he was dangerous.
Like, I was the weird one because I fucking drew and I, like, loved anime and video games. Well, the video game part was not that weird. Everyone plays video games in Turkey. But I loved anime and I would just, like, draw all the fucking time. So me and him were, like, the two outcasts because he skated and that was, like, a weird hobby. That's how strange it was considered, even in, like, a relatively affluent neighborhood. Where, you know, in a lot of countries like Turkey, that's usually who is like more Western focused and will, you know, pick up stuff from American culture.
Are there any Muslim countries where skating is like huge?
Bro, fucking Saudi Arabia, dog.
Not
skating though. They just skate their fucking G wagons, dude.
Dude, wait, they just hit the.
Up until a couple weeks ago, a full skate. And school facility in Afghanistan in Kabul.
Oh man.
And Mazar-e-Sharif. They had two facilities where they were doing education, especially for girls, and skating, and it's gone. It's all gone.
Yeah, now the Taliban's like, we're doing the Ollies, bro.
When the Taliban took over, when Kabul fell, I was actually involved in getting the Skatistan staff out. It was heavy. It was heavy.
That's crazy.
I was sending emails to all kinds of state representatives and, you know, people in human rights groups. And it finally got to a dude that was there on the ground, like by the fence, and literally texting this dude. I wasn't in that process, but they were texting him like, it's this is one girl wearing this shirt, this one wearing this
shirt.
That's
nuts, man. How many
I met
staff?
The dude. I actually met him 2 days ago because he just got back from Afghanistan and he lost some men in that suicide bomber.
Oh my god. How much staff were there at Skatistan that you got out?
We got 80 people out.
Holy shit. Wow, man.
Dude.
That is crazy.
It was gnarly. It was like all night emails and texting and I mean, I'm just thankful it got to the right person.
Yeah, I mean, that situation was crazy. At one point, we were talking about was it the Mexican embassy workers that were or what embassy was it?
Spanish
embassy that were literally taken out by like a meme account, had to communicate with the Taliban.
Well, the Spanish government didn't do a good enough job fucking negotiating with the Taliban at all ahead of time. So some random fucking dude with like a fucking Groiper Pepe the Frog avatar was like, hey, we're not your enemies, like in I guess it was Arabic, I don't know,
yeah,
but like he was like writing out like Google Translate, like, we're not your enemies, can you please let our embassy staff out? And they were like, yeah, sure, You know, it's
that,
chill.
That shit is so.
That's
heavy,
the thing,
man.
That's like, that's the thing that's so wild is that, like, you know, this was facilitated and negotiated previously by the American government. It was like, of course, it was going to be chaotic no matter what happens, because, like, you're basically giving the country back to the Taliban after, you know, fighting them for 20 years and losing over and over again for 20 fucking years. It's just it's really sad, but we here in the United States had a lot to do with the situation there, from originally radicalizing the Pashtun and you know, arming them and creating this like reactionary counterforce to the socialist government of Afghanistan, all the way back from the fucking Carter era to now. And then finally giving Afghanistan back to the Taliban and then being like, all right, we did a great job. You know, congratulations, guys. We did it. And it's really shitty when you think about the human suffering that not only we caused, but then also continue to cause. And hopefully one day the people of Afghanistan will be able to fight back and you know, build their own country. Not one that is dominated by an eclectic group of radicalized fundamentalist warlords, but instead, you know, people that like to skate and shit.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, it was really hard because this guy, Oliver Perkovich, who started Skatistan, he started it about, I think it was like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago.
Right.
And he just watched 10 years of work wiped away in 2 days.
Up in flames.
It's gone. Yeah. But I the thing about Skatistan is that they did get a lot of traction, so they do have facilities in Cambodia and South Africa and soon to be possibly Jordan. So
that's dope.
That concept is living onward, but it all started in Kabul and it's crazy, man. It was there were a bunch of staff that were that you know, there was a couple years ago, there was a Academy Award. There was a short film about Skatistan that won an Academy Award.
Mm. Hey, just quickly to our listeners, if they wanted to support, is there a website or anything that they can go to, or just should they just Google Skatistan or
is there Skatistan.org. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, because they're still doing great. I mean, their work is incredible. I've been to the Cambodia and the South African facilities, and I stand by it. I mean, we support it through our foundation as well, the Skate Park Project. But what I was saying is, this short film won Academy Award, and then there were all these staff that were in the documentary criticizing the Taliban, and then when Kabul fell, they were stuck there. So that was the
big push. That's so heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, you could, but I'm not even kidding about this. You could literally reach out to the Taliban on the internet. You might have a better time other than like going through American avenues if you wanted to like bring that back. I don't know if you would want to, but that is definitely something you could do.
Oh, that's all on Oliver. That's not, I'm a board member, but I'm definitely not pulling the strings.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we know that Afghanistan used to have a better skate culture than Turkey. So there's that. Actually, I don't know. I'm sure there's like a lot of shit popping off in Turkey as well with respect to skating and whatnot. It's definitely very
Turkish
different.
You just lost Turkish skaters forever, bro.
Yeah, I lost all five of them. They're fucking mad at me.
Yeah.
Okay. But going back to the main story, I wanted to ask you guys, like, how much do you think was a dollar value that everyone's freaking out over, like the top earner on Twitch?
I think I said it to them.
You didn't
at the very top.
I don't think you mentioned it. Did you guys mention? Do you remember?
I don't know. I heard millions, but what is it? Was it per month? Is it per year? What is it?
No, it's from 2019. The dollar value that like everyone is swinging around with is the from 2019 up until 2021.
Oh, the total. What?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wasn't what happened to it? Is Ninja out of the picture? Am I old?
Yeah, Ninja's not in the top. No, I mean he got a massive, like, I think it was like a $30 million deal just to switch over
from Mixer.
But those are usually like, you know, those are the big big money. That's how like a lot of big streamers make their money. is through deals like that. So that's a unique one here. I'll throw it to you.
Oh, I don't know. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, since 2019, I don't know, 10 million seems like a lot, but can't be impossible.
Nope.
What?
Nope. The top earner was AXQC with, outside of Critical Role, and I think it was like 8 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Critical
How much?
Role did do 10, right?
$8 million just off like subscription and stuff like that. Yeah, 8 million. So with respect to like every
Good
other.
Good for them.
With respect to.
Yeah.
Yeah, with respect to like every other avenue, influencers and like how much money they make, it's like Twitch streamers and it's XQC and it's people like myself and we're live. Like I was live 42% of 2020. Like I was literally on camera live and performing for 42% of the entire year.
Which accounts for why his back is tied in a
knot.
Yeah,
that too.
Yep.
It's just, yeah, that's in a world where like YouTubers are fucking making so much more, it's wild. I mean, it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong; it is an incredible amount of money. Same with myself. I think I'm at number 13 there.
Yeah, I mean, but Twitch. Fucking we said at the beginning boy. Of the broadcast, Twitch is like the redheaded stepchild of all digital, right? We're like the little boy. We have a very small audience in comparison to everybody else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be very active and very passionate, but definitely like much, much smaller than YouTube and whatnot. And, but it's just like people see this and they're like, what the fuck? This is an incredible amount of money. And they're right. It is an incredible amount of money. For the average person, it is an insane amount of money. But in a field of like, millions of influencers and celebrities, like that shit is like.
To be honest, I think it's kind of a non-story. Like in just like people getting upset. I think people are just finding a reason to be upset.
Well, people are getting upset at me specifically because, leftist.
Yeah,
but
you
makes
already
money.
Put it out there. So the people yeah. getting upset don't watch you on a daily basis.
So one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, Tony, you specifically, was you collaborated with or you hung out with Lil Nas X recently, right?
Yep.
Because he had Lil Nas X had a like fake Nike where he had like blood in the yep. shoes that he was selling, like the silver yep. well, not the silver bullet, but the 97 Air Maxes.
Yes,
right.
Probably one of my favorite shoes, by the way. Not a big sneakerhead, but I love those shoes. And the internet was very upset. You had the Christian right fucking lose their shit, a gay black guy invoking Satanist imagery. They were trying to do like the satanic panic. They were trying to bring that back. And then obviously the reception from that crowd was expected. You had a similar situation that did not necessarily get the same kind of like negative reaction, right? I mean, I'm sure there were people still mad at you for your blood related skateboard thing that you did. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I'm linked up with Liquid Death, which is water. Canned water, as Jason showed earlier.
Oh,
and
what a beautiful can!
Oh, wow.
We were trying to think of something to sort of announce the partnership, and they sent me a bunch of ideas. One of them was I didn't read the fine print of the contract, and now they own my blood or my soul, or it was just sort of this right. weird, esoteric. project and my first thought was when I was a kid, I'm old. So when I was a kid, I loved Kiss, the band.
Yeah.
And they did a comic book in 1977 where they there was a Marvel comic book featuring Kiss and they put their blood in the ink vats, all the members
awesome.
Of Kiss. And so the
Gene Simmons, one of the great marketers of all time, right?
Yeah. The comic book is literally printed in their blood. And when I was a kid, that was the coolest thing by far. Like the coolest marketing thing I've ever seen. At my age, because it was so impressionable and like I wanted to get one of the comic books. I couldn't get one, obviously. Not that my parents really wanted me to have one. I was 9 years old. But I just thought that was cool. So when they said, we own your whatever it is, like you sign your soul away. It was all just in jest. It's just ridiculous. And then I was like, yeah, we should do that and put blood in skateboards. And that was it, because I was thinking of Kiss. I actually didn't know about Lil Nas X's project. And
right.
then when ours came out, obviously it caused a bit of a stir because people were just like, gross, whatever, or is that satanic? And no, yeah. it's not satanic. It was just, you know, it was just like a silly promotion. We made 100 decks. They sold them for a lot. They sold them for, I think it was $500 each. And Dang. Part of that money went to cleaning up plastics in ocean. And part of it went to the skate park project to build more skate parks. But Lil Nas X complained because he said,
got
you know,
a
the reaction to
amount
that
of attention, right?
Right, because he said the reaction to that, that you know, maybe you guys weren't mad about the blood after all. Maybe you were mad about something else. And I understand that there was this great disparity of reaction to that. I think that there were other elements to it. You know, there were copyright issues with his because he's taking an existing Nike shoe and modding yeah. it. And then he had all the satanic imagery, so it's going to make people angry that are religious. And, you know, people associate all kinds of things with, I don't know, blood, I guess. I didn't really consider all that. But at the same time,
yeah,
I understood what he was trying to say. I felt like there was a big difference in what we put out there. But because people thought that we had beef and it was all so silly, we just ended up connecting because it was just like, what is this? This is all just ridiculous. And so we did a TikTok together. And that was it. Yeah. And it kind of ended that controversy.
Yeah, it's amazing how like the internet can just kind of pit people against each other. But yeah, I get. I mean, I can comprehend the outrage. Right? There's a lot of blood imagery, especially in the Christian faith, where it's like vampiric, like, this is my blood, take of my blood, this is my sure.
bro
my
well flesh. Here they're here, drinking here's the thing. They're drinking Jesus Christ's blood on Sundays. What the fuck right. are Christians doing, dude? Yeah. That shit's crazy to me. Yeah, it's yeah. very metal, actually, right?
Super metal.
Like, it's like
Jesus,
yeah,
low-key.
Well, here's
I'm
the thing. I have
twisted.
Been bleeding literally on skateboards for 40 years.
True.
No one seemed to care about it until I sold it.
Yeah,
dude,
of course.
Skating is tough on your body. I skated when I was like 14 years old, and I broke my ankle, and I never skated again.
You skated?
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, I had no idea.
I had
idea.
My
you
World
fucking...
Industries deck, bro. I had Where's my birdhouse shirt.
Wait, what's he showing us? Hold up.
Is he showing us a scar on his
oh,
ankle?
Oh, shit, dude. That's he's showing us feet, right? Boys. That's it. That's for Patreon subscribers only if you want to see Tony Hawk's.
What's that? What injury was that?
I was just trying to show you how much blood has come out of my shins,
right.
Onto skateboards
yeah.
in the past.
You know, in what's that RoboCop movie where the guy that gets the acid on him and he's walking in front of the car like,
yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite scenes.
That looks like you kicked that guy in the stomach with your shins.
Get away from me, man.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Man, your shit is so gross.
Yeah, dude. Holy smokes.
Yeah. The reception of
which is
both
grosser,
obviously
my shin
had, like,
or skateboards with a little bit of blood on them.
dead heat shit. There. I don't even think the skateboards with blood is very gross. Those decks look dope.
Yeah,
they
do
look awesome.
They do look sick. I bought one so I could clone you, so sorry.
That was our intention.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the cool. contract, Jason. I don't think you put that, you know, I don't think you added that in there.
Cloning
so
rights?
Yeah, guess what, dude, I'm making my own Tony Hawk.
I'm getting tired, so I'd rather have someone take on the
mantle,
obligations.
The Tony Hawk clone.
Yeah.
What do you I mean, this is like super cliche, but what do you guys think about, I'm sure you've talked about this extensively, but what do you guys think about like skateboarding becoming an Olympic sport?
I think it's a great opportunity for skateboarding to grow internationally. And
yeah.
I mean, honestly, they're not reinventing the wheel. Like, we've had skate competitions ever since I started. That's how Jason and I ever made names for ourselves, was through competition.
Right.
So yeah. They held a competition. It just happened to be in the same venue as the Olympics, and it was run the same as all the other events throughout the year. And but it got a lot more attention, and I feel like there are countries that maybe haven't embraced skateboarding, like Turkey, that will now benefit from that and maybe build parks and support their youth to do it, and their youth will discover skateboarding, and that's probably the silver lining to all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's dope. It's a crime, by the way, not an Olympic sport. So, you know, I'm very much anti skateboarding. I've decided.
Really? Why is that?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't fucking know. I always find it really weird that like old people fucking hate
skateboarding.
Yeah, they'll get mad at. You know, there's always like a viral video here and there where it's like an old guy's like, don't do that here. It's like, dude, shut up. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, why do you care?
And that brings us to this week's America Me Up.
Oh, yeah. There's
Jason,
a segment.
Tony, my friend Hassan is a degenerate Turkish un-American. And this segment it's of true. The podcast is where I do my best to make him as American as possible by citing big American moments in this America Me Up moment. This week, we're going to talk about the boxer, Jack Johnson, which Jason, you know a little bit about, so you can correct me if I get any of these things wrong because I'm not an expert. But in the year 1908 in Australia, a boxer by the last name of Burns, a white heavyweight, crossed the barrier and decided to fight a black fighter who had defended his belt 17 times. At that time, it was a split belt. There was the white belt, the world heavyweight belt, and then the non-white belt, which Jack Johnson absolutely dominated in. They fought in Australia, and in order to save this fighter, Burns...
they turned the TV off before he got completely finished.
They turned the reel off because Jack Johnson was beating the ever-loving...
They couldn't show a black man beating a white man.
The ever-loving shit out of him, right? And then this footage became some of the most coveted footage in history. It spread its way from Australia. Well, they tried to kill it, but in kind of an underground fashion, it spread from Australia to the United States, the world, of Jack Johnson beating the hell out of this America or this Canadian heavyweight champion. In the time that followed from 1908 to 1910, Jack Johnson would dominate every boxer he would go up against. He would flaunt his wealth, and he would basically fuck a bunch of white women, which did not make the American public very happy, especially the American white public. So they went and they unearthed a heavyweight boxer by the name of Jim Jeffries, who at the time was 300 and some pounds and working on his farm somewhere in the American South.
They begged him to come out of retirement.
Right. They begged him to come out of retirement. And he was given the moniker that would later be given to Donald Trump, the Great White Hope, Hassan. So if you've ever heard of that terminology, it comes from this fight. So they unearth this dude. They let him train for a year. He loses almost 100 pounds, and he's ready for a fight that was supposed to take place in San Francisco. However, that fight doesn't take place in San Francisco because there's so much outrage about it. So it ends up happening in Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city in America. This fight was scheduled for how many rounds do you guess, Hassan?
I have no idea.
45 rounds. That's right. 45 rounds. Boxing.
To the death.
Yeah, to the death, basically. At that point, no one got out of a fight alive. It just basically went till someone's face was pulpy enough that they gave up. The fight went 15 rounds. In those 15 rounds, Jack Johnson beat the ever-loving shit out of Jim Jeffries and the Great White Hope. And this was a huge moment for sport. For boxing and for, you know, civil rights, because at the time, even though Jack Johnson was from Austin, Texas, he was billed as an African fighter from Ethiopia, even Jesus though he was born and raised in Texas. After Jack Johnson would eventually vacate the belt years later, another black fighter was not allowed to participate in the heavyweight title until 1922.
I have some information on Jack Johnson that please. I personally know about. Like, I didn't know about this part of it. Like, I don't know the actual names and stuff, but the only thing I knew about it was that The Mann Act, like the invocation of the white women trafficking, white women slavery act.
Was him driving across his, state lines with his girlfriend.
Yeah. They literally, like, the racist dipshits were so butthurt that, like, you know, this dude was having sex with white women.
Yep.
That there's a whole ass law around it, for those of you who don't know. Some even say that this was like the early formation of the FBI to like regulate at the federal level.
To regulate Jack Johnson fucking white women.
No, literally, like to regulate interstate commerce and like to regulate like federal crimes,
yeah,
of like human trafficking. And of course, like, it wasn't used against human trafficking at all. It was specifically used against black people that, yeah, were engaging in the act of miscegenation, which a lot of racist people frowned upon. White women slavery is what they considered it. Interesting. Anyway, he was pardoned by Donald Trump recently, but I think he served a jail sentence for a year too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, do you have the video? I want to see it. They're not going to be able to.
I think we have a clip from the fight. I don't know which fight we have, but Jack Johnson was famous for just beating the shit out of his opponent and frequently taunting and laughing and smiling during the fight because he was so far and away a better fighter than the people that he would come up against.
Dude, he is jacked.
Yeah. He was a beast.
Like,
man.
Back then, I feel like back then people were so fucking like skinny and
well,
not
dude,
strong.
None of them knew how to body train.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Jack Johnson just fucking just
grizzled,
svelte.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
But so was what's his face? I'm looking at a photo and
Jim Jeffries.
So
yeah,
was
a
Jim
big dude.
Yeah,
let's play the clip real quick from their fight.
At precisely 3 minutes to one, Jack Johnson makes his way to the ring. Johnson is always the first to enter. So seriously does he take this ritual that it's written into his contract. The nation comes to a...
So in the clip, Jack Johnson has just entered the ring. Strangely, they make the champion enter the ring first because he's black. And now the
crowd's going wild when Jeffries walks in.
Oh, they really thought that this dude was going to go in there and do something. They were wrong. Can we flash forward to the actual fighting just for a second, and then we'll go back? Yeah, and then here you can see Jack Johnson just beat the ever-loving shit out of this dude.
Jeffries' corner, Corbett yells, 1-2, Jeff, 1-2.
That's all you need, Jeff.
He's not even like that. He's not even that technical. He just like smashes people. It's
Really
like the sweet science. He's just like a better athlete.
Yeah. Like, well, at the time, it's amazing. He even
just
though
he shots and matches people down.
Yeah, it's amazing that at that time, like in 1910, you know, boxing hadn't become that sweet science yet. He was probably the most technical boxer.
Oh no, though. there was sweet science. There were lightweights that had it. It was just he was more of a he was just so strong and powerful. Like I saw interviews where he said he took people into the later rounds because he didn't like them and he wanted them to feel like he wanted them to hurt them.
I love
and
that.
So he'd keep them up and just hurt them until he felt like now you've had enough, and then he would knock you out. Like,
that's incredible.
Oh, he's on his ass.
Yeah,
dude.
So that's round 15, and they stopped the fight to save a little bit of Jim Jeffries' morale after he was knocked down three times in the 15th.
Oh, my God. He tries to get up, and he just clapped in the face again.
Puts him through the ropes, man.
Jesus
Christ. All right,
Christ.
We can go back to the call now.
Yeah. By the way, of course, predictably, I'm looking this up now.
Sure.
It caused race riots in many places across the United States.
They think as many as 26 people died in the subsequent race riots.
Bro, literally fucking Birth of a Nation came out 5 years after this. Like,
yeah,
white people were like, we got to recover. We got to recover from this big time, dude. We got to do extra. We got to be extra racist for a little
holy
bit.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, they really, yeah. Holy fucking Christ.
As
dude.
I said, after his reign, black people were not allowed to participate in the heavyweight title till 1922.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They declared that the screening and footage would not be allowed anywhere.
Yep.
And it was banned virtually everywhere in the South, as well as South Africa and India. Why? India, always weird. Just like, oh, dude, India, BJP, holy shit. I mean, they got their own, I mean, they got the caste system. or the legacy of the caste system and their own very complex forms of racism too.
Yeah.
You ever? Yeah. They're yeah. Anyway, not going to get into that, but. 2 weeks after the match, says former President Theodore Roosevelt, an avid boxer fan, wrote an article for The Outlook in which he supported banning not just moving pictures of boxing matches, but a complete ban on all prize fights in America.
Yeah, dude, boxing is over. Yeah. Once they had a black champion, boxing was just canceled.
Yeah,
full stop.
Yeah, he was like, he cited the crookedness in gambling that surrounded such contests and that moving pictures have introduced a new method of money getting in, getting and of demoralization. Money getting. Introduce a new method of money getting. Why did everybody speak like this? That's how he said it.
Listen, folks, this is an immoral way of money getting. Yeah.
This is crookedness and...
Do not pass go. Do not collect
$200. Yeah, the controversy surrounding the film directly motivated Congress to ban the distribution of all prize fight films across state lines in 1912, and the ban lasted for nearly 3 decades.
I mean, this one juiced you up. You like this America Me Up.
I mean, I love that. Yeah, no, I think that this is like... I mean, it's so funny because, like,
it's fascinating, man.
Athletic competition is like one of the only fucking meritocratic close to a real meritocracy as you can get. Obviously, there's like underlying material circumstances that give you a benefit, but you oftentimes, because you want to make as much money as possible, eradicate that with like scouting programs and shit like that, which is why, of course, you see a lot of people from different backgrounds, a lot of people from like poorer backgrounds absolutely fucking dominate in the field, and it's undeniable. Like when you're getting pulverized by a dude, a black dude, as like the great white hope, that's it. Like there's nothing you can do against that.
Yeah.
You literally cannot fucking be like, oh no, the white race is still superior, I promise. Oh no, we gotta fucking hide the truth.
Yeah.
Guess what, dude?
I think our lovely producer Nid is telling us that we are just about at time. So guys, sincerely, I want to thank you both for coming on today. This is one of the first podcasts that I have been sincerely nervous because you guys are both such tremendous talents. Where can we find you? What are you working on? And how can our audience connect with you further after the podcast? Jason, I think you're on it first. Jason, tell me about what I'm looking at on the screen right now.
It's my book.
Okay, you want to plug it a little bit?
Yeah, it's my book's still awesome. It's got my face on the back as well, so you know it's good.
Yeah. What does this say? Not as good as what? What is that?
It says the trials and tribulations of an egotistical maniac.
Do you think you're an egotistical maniac?
I think that I've definitely calmed it down due to, you know, I mean, therapy and all that kind of stuff, but it's still in there. Don't you worry about that.
Bro, he's a broadcaster. Of course, an egotistical maniac. What do you mean?
I'm a little bit more like, it's okay. I'm a normal person, but still there's little pockets where I'm like, there's nobody, I might be the greatest person that ever lived.
Yeah. It's crazy. I get that.
I could be wrong though. That's the thing. When you get older, I might be wrong. Yeah. I might've been off. I might be like, just okay.
The name of the book is I'm Still Awesome. And
it's still awesome.
Still awesome. Yeah.
Still awesome. And the drink that we are all imbibing is Liquid Death, correct?
Yeah, that's great. I don't really own that. I was joking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. This entire time we were like, yeah, I was
throwing for a loop.
But you should really just like and subscribe Hawk versus Wolf and the Jason L. Show. They're both on Cast Media with us.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Tony, do you have anything coming up and where can we find you?
Everything Jason said, including his book.
Oh, perfect.
You might find me in his book.
Hell yeah.
If you can find a mention of me in his book. There you go. That's where you'll find me.
Oh, sure. Hell yeah.
Sure.
No, I'm at Tony Hawk on all the social media outlets on the internets. And Skate Park Project is my foundation for public skate parks in low-income areas. And that's the work I'm most proud of. So. If you can help us get more skate parks in needy areas, I think it benefits youth all over.
Tremendous.
All right. Absolutely.
Guys, thank you so much. We know you're both such busy dudes. We are really thankful for you guys coming on today. And I had a lot of fun.
Me too.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys.
Bye, dudes.
Bye, guys.
Thanks so much. Adios.
See
ya. I'm saying it, dude.
What's up, everybody?
If you just enjoyed that episode, I need you to do the following. Put your hand on your mouse. Move that mouse in an orbital fashion until the cursor lands atop one of the buttons you see on your screen. Hit the subscribe, hit the bell, hit the follow, whatever you please, so that you can get the most Fear and Molding for your buck.